Harvard University was founded in 1636 by the Pilgrim Fathers, who settled and organized the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It grew and flourished and rose to the pinnacle of American education, commanding the respect and admiration of a nation to which it gave educated men and great leaders. Harvard was first, the best. Harvard is ruled by a 32-man board of overseers, or trustees, according to the charter. In practice, decisions were made by a 7-member council that includes President Pusey, Treasurer George Bennett, and 5 alumni. This system of governing the university was at the heart of the April crisis at Harvard. ROTC and university expansion were the symptoms. The deeper issue of governing of the university was the one on which radicals and moderates could find common ground. With the campus gripped by an angry student strike, the Harvard faculty convened on Friday, April 11th. It was to be a long meeting, as Professor of History Oscar Handlin indicated on his way to that meeting.
Professor Handlin, I believe HRE News, how do you expect this meeting to go today?
Slow.
The meeting of the faculty lasted 4 hours. And at the end, Dean Franklin Ford read a resolution passed by the faculty.
The Faculty of Arts and Sciences deplores the forcible occupation of University Hall on April 9th. Responsibility for the events that follows falls in the first instance upon those who forced their way into the building, who forcibly ousted the officers of the university at work there, and who insisted upon remaining long after they were requested to leave. As members of a community committed to rationality and freedom, we also deplore the entry of police into any university. Some of us believe the decision to use force to vacate the building was wrong. Some of us believe it was unwise. Some of us consider it unavoidable, though regrettable. The university is at a crisis which requires unity of thought and action to preserve its enduring values. The university now lacks any effective procedure by which faculty and student opinion in the several faculties of the university can be consulted in the handling of acute emergency situations. We therefore propose the following resolution. Resolved, A, that all criminal charges relating to Harvard students and faculty be dropped. B, that this faculty elect a committee to investigate the causes of the present crisis, assume full responsibility for the disciplining of the students involved in the forcible occupation of University Hall, and consult with the representatives of the other faculties of the university and with student representatives in order to recommend changes in the governance of the university.
After their meeting, some members of the faculty held a roundtable discussion of the crisis at the campus studios of WHRB. Instructor in economics and SDS member, Arthur McEwen.
The question of what's wrong with discussion, it's that we're not going to persuade certain people to make certain kinds of changes.
Yes, but...
Exactly like you say. That's what we're talking about. We think there are certain power conflicts in society. Now, we ask ourselves, well, we see these people, the corporation members are among this group, and we see that they have a monopoly on the basic forms of society, the basic forms of power in our society. We say, what forms of power can we get our hands on? And they aren't very many. We want power to change things, to distribute it in a much more equitable fashion. Now, we haven't got money. We haven't got control over the wealth of our society. It's not democratically distributed. Our economy is very undemocratic. But it's from our economy that power derives to a very great extent. Now, there's another source of power, and that is organized masses of people. And that's where we turn, of course, to change things. And that's the sort of thing we're trying to do now at Harvard. We don't think we're going to bring about a revolution at Harvard this week or next week.
Masses reject you.
The faculty roundtable centers on the question of who governs a university, who should govern it, the place of calm debate and the need to avoid force, coercion. Professor of American History, Oscar Handlin sums up.
We have a crisis. We have a crisis which began at noon on Wednesday, which will not be dissolved for a long time. It began because of impatience, because without any excessive reading of other people's motives, because of a feeling that this kind of direct violent action was a shortcut to goals which some people considered desirable, but which were not considered desirable in the university community as at large. Now, I'm not so much concerned with that incident which is past. What I'm concerned is next week and the incidents which are coming. And what I wish to make clear is that there are a substantial number of the people in the university, students and faculty, whose patience is running thin with this kind of exacerbated unwillingness to play by the rules of the game. Now, the rules bind the majority, but they also bind the minority. And people who break the rules will find that they will be resisted.
We've already learned that.
Yes, and you will continue to learn it. And now the question, I'm not really concerned with converting people who are unconvertible, but I am talking to this body of moderate students. I don't have to talk to the faculty because there was a tremendous unanimity of sentiment in the faculty. We're willing to consider all kinds of changes. We're willing to talk, but we're not going to be pushed around and forced into action with which we don't agree. Now, that's my statement. I'm sorry it took so long.
The divisions at Harvard were evident in repeated exchanges between physics professor Gerald Holton and instructor McEwen, a member of the SDS. First, Professor Holton.
You see, the point I'm getting to is that you have one more thing to offer the world, which is knowledge. You said power, power, power. There is a particular power in knowing something, knowing it thoroughly, which takes a long time and which is the reason you came here and the reason I'm here, you know, to help you get it and to help myself get more. Think of the way in which Senator Cooper almost single-handedly turned the whole ABM debate around in the Senate. When he finally got up during the debate, he was able, by having been briefed by some of my friends, to ask some questions about the ABM, to which the Armed Services Committee people didn't even know the question, not to speak of the answer. He finally had a new handle on power, which was knowledge. And you have the same situation again and again. The man who is behind Fulbright, again and again, turns out the one that produced the documents that show that the Tonkin resolution is based on a farce. That requires documentation of the most thorough kind. And you and I should be right in that game, in that league, not down in the you know, kindergarten type of activities, which are around Harvard Yard. I assure you, it feels great for you and me, but it doesn't make a hell of a lot of difference.
It doesn't feel great. Look, you see, this is where our analysis differs. Harvard University is not something separate from the society, which we feel indeed, as was said earlier, is a nefarious society. I mean, it's not some institution apart where we are seeking knowledge independent of what's going on in that society. Harvard University serves a function in our society. The higher education system in general serves a function. It's a supportive function to the general power interests in our society. In particular, Harvard plays a very important role in training elites. I could quote several people in the Harvard Corporation to this effect. One of my favorites is when Master Finley commented, "I see Harvard University as as Route 128 into American society." It was the express lane. I think that's an apt analogy. The point is, what is that kind of society that Harvard is supporting? What is that kind of society that Harvard is taking people into? And Harvard's intricately bound up with these things I consider to be nefarious. And I think I can fight them right here just as well as I can in Washington. Indeed, better a local movement of people whose direct interests are involved and not some abstract discussion where we score debating points.
But you could be now a Birch Society member. Everything you have said translates exactly into what the Birchites say about Harvard. It's an evil place. It is the wrong place. It ought to be shut down. It is full of the kind of professors who are serving the wrong interests and subverting the true aims of society. You have a very distorted idea of what Harvard really can be. It's a multiple thing. It has all kinds of things that you have completely forgotten about.
I don't see Harvard as a monolith in this whole thing. I recognize a certain amount of diversity. I'm talking about a generalization, about its basic function, about the functions of the educational system. Well, I mean, what do you think the functions of our educational system are?
To make a better society.
To make a better society in what? In your definition?
By everything. To know more, to live better,
see, I don't think that's
more
true.
At peace.
I don't think that's
to,
true. I don't think
to
that's...
To enjoy oneself more.
I think we have a lot of objective information on the role the university plays in the economy, which denies what you're saying.
You mean it doesn't work out in practice?
It doesn't work out in practice.
And therefore, should we shut them all down?
We should change them quite drastically.
Sunday, the sixth day of Harvard's agony. The Harvard Corporation reiterates a previous position to support the stripping of ROTC of academic credit and orders a report on the university expansion program. Next day, Monday, the Board of Overseers gives a vote of confidence to President Pusey, but promises to study the role of students and faculty in the university's decision-making processes. But the Harvard students were still angry, and they thronged a meeting in Soldiers Field Stadium called by an ad hoc committee of moderates. Monday, April 14th.
There are three short sections. One is that the community decide that we continue the strike for 3 days, that within that time the administration publicly inform this community of its position, and that after that, we determine, after the administration has let it know its action and promise of action, whether to continue the strike.
I hear a second. All those in favor of the motion as read, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it.
The students, in a tough-minded mood, talk tough to the Harvard Corporation.
Mr. Chairman, I want to ask that the rules of the body be amended to allow a one-sentence proposal to be considered by the body. And this would be a proposal which would be a statement by this meeting to the Corporation of Harvard College, that Olympian body that informed us yesterday of its intentions. And our statement would be, we repudiate the right of these seven men to close our university. Thank you.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed? No. The ayes have it.